Luna's Dream Ticket airs on RTE on December 29th at 11 a.m. and it will feature Donegal's Donaha Devenny. Good morning to you, Donaha.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
And this is very exciting, isn't it? What happened? How did you get involved in the TV show Una's Dream Ticket?
Well, I was watching it one morning on RTE when at the end the show was nearing the end of the series, and it said, if you wish to have your dream come true, please write into this email address. So I was on the computer at the same time. So I asked my dad, and I says, my dream was to meet the Irish soccer team. So I downloaded a draft of the email, or the application, and filled it out and emailed it off to Tyrone Productions.
And you sent that off. Did you ever think you would get a reply?
No, I thought if I just sent it off, that was the end of it. But two days later, I got a reply saying that I was put down with about 200-300 other children, and they would contact me for any further development.
So it only took 2 days, because you'd expect it to be for weeks. So you knew you were on a short list. Well, it's a long list, really, of 200-300. So even at that stage, you're going, well, they can't do everyone. What are my chances? Then what happened?
Well, 2-3 months passed, and I was actually in the dentist at the time when when my dad got the call. He slipped out of the room, and when we were going home, he told me that they had rang and said that they had shortened the list down to about 50 people, and I was still on it, so they would contact me again if I was going to be on it. So another month passed, and I was just coming home from a week of school on a Friday afternoon. My mum and dad, Tyrone Productions, had been in contact with my mum and dad all during the week, but I didn't know that. So on that Friday, I was told by my mum to go out and clean my football bag, and I was just rummaging through it, and I pulled out my boots, and under it was like a golden ticket. I didn't know what it was, first of all. So I pulled out my bag, and I turned around to my mum and dad, who were secretly filming me, and I later found out that it would be part of the show, my reaction. So
I'd say that was a brilliant surprise, because, you know, even though you knew you were down to 50, it's still a lot of people, and maybe you didn't know how you would be told. So it must have been a great shock when you saw this ticket in the bag, because you're 12, aren't you? Play sport yourself?
Yeah, I was 12 this week, actually.
Happy birthday, fair play to you.
And yeah, I play soccer for Ballyroon.
Which gives us a clue of what your dream ticket would be used for, because what did you do?
Well, I went up to meet the Ireland team and trained with them in Malahide, and played a bit with Donegal man James Coleman.
What was that? What was that like?
He was really competitive in some of the things. We did a race, and I was ahead of him near the end, and he pulled me back, and I fell on the ground.
Well, he's probably learnt that from playing in the Premiership, you have to be able to use your hands now and again.
Yeah,
that must have been a fantastic experience. Were you able to enjoy it, or were you so, shocked by meeting your idols? Because, you know, there's one thing wanting to meet them, but when you do meet them, you know, were you able to enjoy it, or were you just wide-mouthed?
No, I was able to enjoy it. They were really nice to me, and it just seemed like a normal conversation, really.
Brilliant. Yeah. And who else did you meet? Obviously, Seamus from Killybegs. He's a lovely fellow. I've met him once or twice myself, and he's just like us. You'd think he was going to be some sort of a, you know, up in the clouds type of a person, but he's still so down to earth. Who else did you meet from the Irish team?
I met Aidan McGeady. He showed me a trick he'd masked himself, the McGeady spin.
Yeah.
And then I met Roy Keane.
Was he all right? He didn't come out to you or anything?
No, though. I came over to get a picture with him, and he asked me what team I supported, and I said Manchester United. And at the time, he was still the assistant manager, Aston Villa. So he gave me a wee nudge and said, have you never heard of Aston Villa?
Well, it goes to show how things change. He's not there anymore. Who else?
I got a brief chat with Martin O'Neill, who was really focused on the training, because they had an upcoming match. So,
and what else did you do as part of the day? What else will we see on the telly?
Well, I was also up at an Ireland. At the end of the training session, I hit a penalty on James Coleman, and if I scored it, I would got a prize, which was in the bag. So I scored the penalty, and it was 5 season tickets for me and my family to all Ireland home games. So I was up at the USA game recently. They won 4-1, and I got to meet all the players. I got to lay out all the kits in the dressing rooms beforehand.
Brilliant.
And I met all the players as they were preparing in the tunnel. And
who's your favourite Irish player?
Probably Seamus Cole.
Yeah, it has to be Seamus Cole. Listen, we've so much to do in the programme between now and 12. It's been brilliant having you in. All of this has been videoed and filmed, and now it'll be shown then later this year.
Yeah, I was up in the studios as well, getting ready for, they were airing or recording all the people to be on.
And does this make you want to maybe be in TV or radio or?
Yeah, a bit.
You've got the voice for it, anyway. You're not shy. And so it's all going to be shown on the 29th. What about you then? Has it inspired you maybe to train a bit harder with, which team did you say you play for?
Ballyroon.
So you're training a bit harder now? Maybe you've seen the lifestyle that these internationals have. Maybe you want to emulate them?
Yeah. Once I saw them play, it just wanted me to be a professional footballer and want more when I'm older.
Well, I'm going to keep this interview recorded and hopefully I'll be able to sell it in the future. When you're making your Ireland debut, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
And Annie, what about, do you follow Finn Hawks?
Yeah, I've been to a few games.
Good. It's good to follow the local teams too. Look, Donna, it's been brilliant having you in. You're fantastic.
Thank you.
I didn't know if you'd be if it was going to be a yes and no situation, but we know it wasn't that. So it's on RTE. Your friend's dead jealous.
Well, a few of them were excited for me, but most of them were dead jealous.
Of course, even the ones that are excited, you're the lion. No one's that good a friend. It's lovely to be them. And who's with you? Just say hello to the girls outside, just because they've come up to...
My sister Maeve's out there and her two friends, Katie and Moya, and my other sister, Emer. She's down the house with my mum listening in, so...
Brilliant. And it'll be online a little later on for you to listen back and see how fantastic you did.
Yeah.
Donaghy Defenny, it's been brilliant chatting to you.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing you at 11 a.m. on December 29th on RTE.
Yes.
And we'll see the whole thing together. It's on RTE too. It'll be on the player too, so we can catch up on that. Donna, you're brilliant. Thank you so much for coming in. And also, Dad, you're very proud. I haven't spoken to you yet, but we'll keep it brief. You don't look too excited about chatting. But you must be very proud, are you?
No, it's a really enjoyable experience for him. He didn't expect it, I suppose. When he showed me the email he was sending off, I said, oh, yeah, send it off. But you don't really expect to get replies from these national competitions. Like, he was, I think it's 30 children nationwide that have been sort of chosen for these tickets. They're like a Willy Wonka or a Charlie's Chocolate Factory type of ticket for children, really. So,
and you were trying to take a picture when we were starting, and I think you were videoing it. I hope you did a better job when you were videoing his reaction to the final ticket.
Well, I hope
it's
so.
It's
going to be shaky home footage. You might end up in one of these TV shows.
Well, listen, thank you so much to both of you for coming in. Okay, during the week, a mini earthquake was recorded in County Donegal, and to discuss this, we're joined by Brendan O'Donoghue, a physics teacher, indeed, at St. Columbus College in Stranraer. Good morning to you, Brendan.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you so much for chatting to us today. Now, tell us what happened during the week.
On Tuesday, the 9th of December at 6:34 in the morning, there was a small little tremor, and it seems to have been centred in the triangle between Milford, Remelton and Rathmullen. Very small event, only 0.6 magnitude, and indeed, you may not have felt it even if you were on location where it occurred. Certainly, I had no indication the next day when I checked the records from last Tuesday week. And instead, what happened was I got notification from the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies that an event had occurred. And they asked me to go back and check the records from the previous week. And in checking those records, I found that indeed the event had occurred. We'd recorded it.
Superb. And what actually would have caused this, Brendan?
Well, during the last ice age, the... Northern Europe was covered by a crust of ice extending to possibly about a mile thick, and the weight of that ice pressing down on the Earth's crust would have pushed it down into the Earth's mantle. And over time, the Earth's crust is rebounding and moving upward, and every now and then that energy, that stored energy, is released as a small earthquake. And these happen across Northern Europe. They're quite common in Scotland, and we've had a few here. We've had bursts of activity. In January 2012, there's a few earthquakes here, and going back earlier in January 2010.
Is there any rhyme as well? I beg your pardon, Brendan. Is there any rhyme or reason to this? In other words, are we likely to see further tremors in the future?
Well, it's very hard to predict, Greg, because you can't really predict earthquakes at all. The difficulty is, earthquake prediction really, I suppose, is the holy grail of seismology. And, you know, it's unlikely that, you know, we'll get close to it in our lifetimes. But the energy is stored in the crust, and when and where it's released, you know, they can make good guesses that there's going to be an event of such and such magnitude in this place over the next 30 years. But really, to be more precise than that is extremely difficult. And indeed, I wouldn't think that there's much interest in terms of prediction for the kind of earthquakes we get, because they're low energy events without much economic or, you know, wider significance.
Well, it seems we can't predict the weather for Christmas, no matter how many people you ask. So I suppose indeed, to expect us to be able to predict this. Was there much excitement amongst students at St. Columba's College?
Well, there wasn't until today, because nobody really knew about it. And indeed, nor did I myself until I received notification from the geophysics section of the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies. They run the Irish National Seismic Network, and I'd be part of that network with the Seismology in Schools program. And they notified me and said, look, check the records first. So I went through it, and sure enough, after a bit of filtering out the high-frequency noise that you get every day in the seismic record, there was the signal. And it was quite a good signal. It was a good, strong, clear image. And, you know, so I was very pleased to get it. But, you know, normally I wouldn't see a signal like that small. So it was just good recording conditions at that time.
And that's probably because it was overnight or early in the day, is that?
Yeah, 6:34 in the morning. So, I mean, you know, had it been a couple of hours later, the normal activity, you know, traffic on the roads and, you know, and people moving around the school here, that kind of movement nearby causes interference, because it produces high-frequency signals, which masks any underlying seismic activity.
Okay, let's hope this is not the first of many, but it's great to have the equipment in our own county and someone with your expertise to be able to break it down for us, Brendan. It's always a pleasure to chat to you.
Greg, thank you very much indeed. Happy Christmas to you.
You too, Brendan. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, we talked about weather there during that interview, and Ireland, we're told, is facing a global warming crisis with increasing violent storms in winter and droughts in the summer. This is according to the country's leading expert, Professor John Sweeney. He's a climatologist at NUI Maynooth, warned that temperatures here will increase by 1.5 Celsius in the next 40 years. Oh, well, do I, any point reading on? I won't be here to worry about it. But affecting everything from agriculture to water supply. He was speaking after a year of record-breaking weather in Ireland, which saw a vicious series of storms deemed the worst in a century, wreaking havoc across the country in the early part of the year, bringing hurricane-strength gales and extensive flooding. Last winter was the wettest since records began for many areas, with Atlantic storms sending record-high waves crashing on our shores. Most of the weather, though, not in the northwest. Rainfall in Kerry, for example, was almost twice the average of previous 20-year period and caused the wettest winter since 1866. The southwest, west and northwest suffered the brunt of the hurricane-force winds and record-high tides from the storms in January and February. But that's according to a leading weather expert. And I think if you've got five leading weather experts in a room, you'd get probably 15 opinions. But people love to talk about the weather. As it relates to that earthquake, the mini tremor, I suppose you could call it. Did you feel it? 086-7700-555 or call us on 074-91-25000. Pádraig Gallagher, good morning.
Hey, Greg, how are you?
Nice to speak with you. Now, you're a writer, actor, comedian, and one of those people behind the YouTube sensation that's ITV.
I am indeed, yeah.
AYETV.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very successful, hasn't it? Why do you think so?
I think, I suppose a lot of the comedy that would be on television and so on is not really catering to, Donegal people's tastes, or, you know, I think
and our idiosyncrasies too, which are picked out on and exposed, and we love that, don't we?
Exactly. I think a lot of laughter and comedy comes from recognition. People see things of themselves and they find that quite funny. So that's, I suppose, what we've been trying to do with Letterkenny People, and now with the Christmas special is going up on Monday.
Now tell us about it. What is the format of it?
The format, it's basically it's carrying on from the series that went online in May. And we're taking one of the characters from it, Tiernan, the journalist, and he's carried out an investigation about Christmas and Letterkenny, and he has a few suspicions about things that are going on, so he's determined to get to the bottom of it.
But are we going to look silly now, journalists, are we?
Hopefully not, no.
You're not giving us a touch, no?
No, maybe just that one, I think.
But, okay. So he's investigating...
He's investigating. He has a suspicion that maybe some of the Santa Clauses in the shopping centres mightn't be the real one. He's trying to find the real one.
Well, we don't want any spoilers.
No, that's it. I'm not going to give too much away because you wouldn't know who would be listening. So.
And is he the only? Is he the only character from the series that's featured in this Christmas special?
No, there's I would say about 7-8 of the main characters from the series all pop up in the special. Basically, he goes to interview different people and try to crack the case. So there's a number. I'd say anyone, their favourite character probably does show up in the Christmas special.
And it's all filmed around Letterkenny.
It was all filmed. We filmed it over the last couple of weekends in and around the town. So some people might have seen our chase scene happening last Saturday afternoon. If they were down around Oliver Plunkett Road, down that part of the town, they might have seen a guy in a Santa Claus suit getting chased. that was us.
Well, did you tell the Gardaí you were doing it in advance?
Oh, yeah. We kept it quiet, our guerrilla filmmaking, just get it shot and get it away.
Excellent. So it goes up online on Monday. You can just search AYE TV, but it'll be there from Monday. How long is it?
It'll be about 8 or 9 minutes, so it's something people could put on and watch when they get sick of watching whatever's on.
It's great
on television,
because now too, it's not just about watching it on your phone or laptop. The great thing about the likes of these, you know, the Chromecasts and what have you, for little or no money, you can throw it up on the big screen and really enjoy it.
Exactly, and it'll look actually good. We've got a great sort of HD camera we were
Super.
Using, so. Anyone gets a nice new HD TV for Christmas, it'll look great on it. And the
look
series
forward
will
to that.
Do if they want to go back and
exactly,
and watch it.
You can go back and catch up on it. Finally, for 2015, what's the plans?
We're one or two things in the pipeline. We're hoping to maybe do some more Letterkenny People towards the end of next year, but there's a few of us involved in different plays and things, so it'll take up time. But we definitely have plans to get back to it and do some more.
Brilliant. It's great to see, you know, the entertainment going so well in the county, been so diverse in the arts and what have you. And it's really great to see, as I say, doing so well. And it's great to chat to you, Park, again. And we wish you the best of luck on that. And it's on YouTube from Monday. Look forward to seeing that. We'll link it from our Facebook and stuff as well. And we wish you the very best of luck with it.
Thank you very much, Craig. Thank you.
Take care. That's Pádraig Gallagher there from ATV or ITV. And it's a Letterkenny People special on YouTube from Monday. And they're a great bunch of lads and indeed produce some hilarious stuff. OK, we'll be back on the show within their thousands, indeed, after this break.
For a beautiful bouquet of flowers this Christmas, call Annie's Flowers and Gifts in Letterkenny. Also candle and other table arrangements, festive globes and much more. At Annie's Flowers and Gifts, Lower Main Street, Letterkenny. Call 91-77740.
Annie, very welcome back after the break. Don't forget, you can contact the programme. You can call us on 07491 25000, or keep your texts coming in on 086 77 00 555. Now, it was announced that Galway has been designated a UNESCO City of Film, this under the UNESCO Creative Cities Network. Galway, just one of 5 cities in the world to achieve this status. Galway joins Sydney, Australia, and Galway's twin city of Bradford in Britain. But why are we talking about it here in Donegal? Because one of the key figures at the Galway Film Centre is Declan Gibbons. Good morning to you, Declan.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well indeed. Now, you are a Donegal man based now in Galway, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. I'm from Creasla, if you know where that is.
Of course, indeed.
Yeah, I grew up in Creasla, and I came to Galway to university in about 1980, and I've been pretty much here ever since.
You just never left after that?
Yeah.
How did you get involved with the Galway Film Centre?
Well, I've worked in the arts for probably about 25 years. I started off working in the box office in the Galway Arts Festival. Then I worked with Mocknes Theatre Company for about just over 10 years. And I worked with Druid Theatre Company as well for a couple of years. So I've always had a background in the arts. And then about 6 years ago, the Galway Film Centre advertised for a manager. So I applied and was delighted, because I'd say film would probably be my favourite art form.
There's no doubt the arts are going from strength to strength here in your native county, County Donegal. Is it the same in Galway?
Yeah, I mean, we consider Galway to be the creative capital of Ireland. You know, we've got sort of world-class theatre here. We have world-class arts festivals. We have a great film fla. The Irish Film Board have got their headquarters, one of the few national agencies that are actually headquartered outside of Dublin. So there's a very healthy climate here for the arts, and a lot of support from the city and the county.
Now, what does it mean to Galway being named or designated a UNESCO City of Film?
Well, you're joining a global network. The first thing about this is that it's a permanent status. We're going to be part of this network forever. You're joining a network of 69 cities around the world, which have all been deemed to have achieved excellence in a certain area, be it literature or music or film or crafts or design. And Galway have been deemed to be achieved excellence in film. So it's not only about what you've achieved, but it's about the potential for growth and for developing partnerships. It's all about developing the city through creativity and using creativity to form new alliances, new co-productions, new partnerships. And essentially, there's a global network that we're now plugged into. So it's what you make of it, but the potential is limitless.
And very exciting times ahead. And we just wanted to highlight the Donegal connection there. And of course, so many of our students based down in Galway will hopefully also be able to enjoy the benefits of it. Declan Gibbons, thanks very much for joining us in the programme.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome back to the Weekend Edition. We're heading towards some live music here on Highland Radio with In Their Thousands. And Rory, Declan and Aidan join us in studio now. Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
No problem.
Saturday mornings, early starts, not necessarily a band's favourite time of the day, is it?
Definitely not, no.
Well, so we do appreciate it. It makes us feel even more special. We're going to be talking about a gig you're playing locally next year, but just reflecting on the last couple of years, 2011, you really got together in earnest and things happened really quite quickly for you. It was only a year later, really, before you started getting some real top-class recognition.
Is that fair
enough to say?
Well, yeah, I suppose it is. I don't know, top class, but we definitely got a kind of a national profile in Ireland. And that kind of gave us the opportunity then to start branching out into the UK and further into Europe and just casting the net a bit wider, I suppose.
Mm. When you do get that recognition, then I suppose it's a case of keeping that momentum going to build on it, is it?
Yes, I suppose everything has to lead to something else. You know, you're always trying to get a foot forward, you know, and it's difficult to keep it moving, especially in a country as small as Ireland, you know, the population of 4 million or 4.5 million, like, you know, City of London is 8 million, so you're nearly, you know, the lure to move and relocate somewhere else is always there, you know.
Well, it's a glass ceiling in Ireland to some extent, isn't there? Because, you know, you get to a certain level, but you have to make a living as well.
Yeah, of course.
It's a case of maybe branching. How's that gone, trying to get beyond Ireland? Because obviously, given your reaction to the recognition you got in 2012, it was nice, but, you know, not necessarily enough to be where you want to be.
Well, in April there, we were in London and we played a couple of gigs there, and we went on, we had a tour in Germany, Holland, Belgium and Germany, and it went very well. We got, you know, it was good reaction to the stuff, I think, and we all came back unscathed, I think. So we all survived it, so it went well.
And when you do that and you come back and you have that satisfaction of doing very well, what takes it to the next stage? Is it a case that the audience is bigger the next time you go back, or do you need someone to pick up on it, say in a reputable news magazine or a newspaper or a radio station, should I say, or whatever, you know, that gives that extra kick? Or do you do it organically from the ground up through the crowds?
Organically feels like the best way for me anyway, and I think that it's the way that we naturally have gone, you know, about things anyway. I don't really have much faith in the industry.
Yeah.
To tell people what it is they should be liking, you know, because you get that a lot. Like, I mean, that once somebody in the industry says so, then you're there. But I think for me anyway, I just take
pleasure. But it is jammed down our throats, and I mean, a perfect example of that is the X Factor. Now, whether you like that fast route to fame or not is besides the point, but it is they know what song they're going to release at Christmas. They've got 3 months to tell you that you're going to like it and you're going to buy it. Is that really what you're talking about? That is, you know, people are predisposed to...
Yeah. That's probably the most extreme kind of side of the thing, but... find the music industry can be quite fickle, just in, regardless of what band you're...
And what route you took, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's... But we've kind of... we've never really taken the easy route. We've always... The old dog for the hard road, isn't there?
I think that's a Donegal thing. We just do it that way, don't we?
Yeah, we're a bit thran.
We get some pleasure from the pain.
So we like doing the travelling and doing the gigs and doing
and
the
now here's our next very dark album. Like Get Out of Donegal. And do you get to play at home much? I mean, on Green on next Saturday, is it?
Yeah.
I don't think we've actually played... in Donegal since last year. And July, the Swell Festival in Ardmore Island.
How did that go?
Great.
It really caught my eye. It's a beautiful place. And
For a first year of a music festival, and it was something that we were kind of involved in on the fringes. Mm. We weren't kind of completely centric to it.
But yeah.
From the beginning, we were kind of at the meetings and kind of... It was the kind of... The arts community really got behind it, locally.
It's a real grassroots festival that, it's John Maldoney kind of spawned an idea and it kind of grew from there.
Mm.
And we ended up, Duke Special headlined, and we headlined the second night, and it was fantastic. It was 400 people on an island for a weekend, and it was just great. Great to see, see locally.
That's happening next year, by the way, too. Yeah. And there's advanced.
That's always the second. It's like the second album, isn't it?
Yeah.
The second year, that's a sign that it was successful. But I mean, it could go. We could triple the crowd, quadruple the
possibly.
Crowd.
Possibly. Well, the tickets are on sale now.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I think the idea of it was not to, not to make it completely huge, and corporate and get a corporate sponsor in, but to try and keep it independent and work with it and make it kind of more niche and maybe more difficult to kind of get a ticket for, rather than have, heaps of tickets and anybody can come,
And then you get a reputation whereby then you get really good artists that perhaps... don't necessarily do the festival scene going, I really would like to play that one.
Yeah, they want to play it rather than just go and doing the festival circuit. You know, you'll get somebody who'll want to come and do a bespoke kind of festival.
So, what's the name of the... It's the Swell Festival.
Swell Festival.
So, I presume it's on Facebook with the tickets are available now. Yeah, and you're playing next year again.
Well,
you're going to put yourself in the headline again. You haven't been invited, but just turn up.
Send
them
the CV.
Some of the guards do, I know. Just turn up. Very good. And so, Saturday night, there's still some tickets available for On Green On. It sounds like it's a great sort of setup for your style.
They just tweeted us this morning saying that there's just under 100 tickets left.
And they go like that. So if you want to see In Their Thousands in On Green next Saturday night, you need to get on the phone, I think.
Yeah, I would say, or on the website, I would say. But it's good for us. It's nice for us to kind of show. I kind of view it as a kind of a showcase for us.
Yeah.
We put a lot of work into it and a lot of rehearsal. We've been working all week on the show. And
that's good to hear that you rehearsed.
Well,
it's always a nice thing. I know you've got raw talent, but have you any other gigs over Christmas or?
that's the kind of the main one.
Brilliant.
We're all doing different things. Yeah. Actually, Rory and I are in Rathmullen House tonight with Sarah Cullen.
Nice.
Kind of backing her up. And we're just doing different things instead.
Well, Aidan, you're just taking it easy, yeah?
I'm just taking it easy.
And 2015, do you see it? I don't want to sort of talk about it in the way everyone talks about it necessarily, but is 2015 an important year for you guys, do you think, in terms of getting where you want to go?
Well, the ambition's always there, I guess, to push the thing on to the next level. Mm. You know, all we can do is create and try and make some really good music. And,
well, that's what you're doing, and that's what we're going to hear. Rory, Declan, and Aidan, collectively, they are In Their Thousands. Guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And take it away.
And I was going believing that you were coming too, and all I had to guide me were some made up truth. I spent 7 days alone. Now I understand that I was in the eye of a storm, and it was gale. made up truths. I am happy on my own. After 7 days alone.
Wow, that's absolutely brilliant. Between you guys and the Lost Brothers a couple of weeks ago, we've had some amazing live performances in here. Thank you so much. That was brilliant. Sounded fantastic. Been blown away by that. Great.
Thank you
very much. So, Rory Declan, you're tonight in Rathmullen House. I know that's not a formal gig or whatever, but you guys want to, people want to hear you. Your talents, and then the big one's next Saturday night.
Yeah, that's it. Well, tonight it's Sarah Cullen.
Yeah, that's her
so
show.
So we're just the kind of the backing band, pickup band, I suppose, for the night.
Yeah, not so bad.
Yeah, see you all in Ungreening, I guess.
Superb, less than 100 tickets to get onto the Ungreening box office. In their thousands, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's all we have time for on the weekend edition. Thank you so much to everyone who took part in the programme, particularly in their thousands there. We're off next Saturday. We'll see you Saturday week. For me, Greg Hughes, and producer Yvonne McFadden. And thanks to Centre at the Mountaintop sponsoring the newspapers. We'll see you soon. Have a happy Christmas.